Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. As you probably know, there is now showing in theaters a film about Elvis Presley, simply called Elvis. But how many feature films was Elvis himself in? Was it A, fewer than 5? Was it B, between 5 and 15? Was it C, between 15 and 25? Or was it D, more than 30? So how many feature films was Elvis in, anyway? And question number two. It was on this day, back in 1973 in North Carolina, that singer Stevie Wonder lost his sense of smell and taste. Is that true or false? Stevie Wonder, 1973. The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 5th of August. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1957, that American Bandstand made its network debut on ABC TV. The show was hosted by Dick Clark. Until this day, the show had been a local show in Philadelphia since 1952. American Bandstand, 1957, today. And it was 23 years ago today, 1999, that music written by Johann Sebastian Bach was found in the Ukraine. The music was thought to have been destroyed over 50 years ago during World War II. The material was found in the musical estate of Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, who was one of J.S. Bach's children. 1999, today. Finally, in transitions, as noted in TMZ.com on the 29th of July, 2022, Jimmy Sons, lead singer for the 60s band The Shadows of Night, is dead after suffering a stroke. Jimmy and his band are most remembered for their iconic sing-along hit, Gloria, which was a top 10 hit in 1966. The Illinois band had announced earlier this week that Jimmy was hospitalized after suffering a stroke. But on Friday, his daughter announced he had passed. Sones was a teenager when his band struck gold with Gloria. He and his bandmates were all high school pals in suburban Chicago and got together to play their version of British blues, a la the Rolling Stones and the Yardbirds. The surviving members were still doing live shows together as recently as 2016. R.I.P. Rest in peace. Gloria.
That's why a baby left me. Well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be so lonely, I could die.
And in country music news, we have this article entitled Essential Elvis Presley. This is published in People magazine on the 18th of July, 2022. The king of rock and roll, celebrated in the film Elvis, was unforgettable in just about any genre. Don't Be Cruel, 1956, a boppingly smooth love plea, this rock classic was released as a double single with a scorching Hound Dog. Are You Lonesome Tonight, 1960, a heartsick country ballad full of high floating notes. Legend has it that the song, written in the 1920s, was an old favorite of Colonel Tom Parker's wife, Marie. Viva Las Vegas, 1964. This rollicking devil-may-care rouser was the title theme to the feature film, he made 31, that memorably paired him with a sizzling Ann Margaret. Crying in the Chapel, 1965. A haunting gospel number sung with a serenity as eerily pure as moonlight. And in classical music news, this 18,000-year-old shell is, quote-unquote, the oldest wind instrument of its kind. Hear its haunting sound. The seashell's music probably hadn't been heard by humans for more than 17,000 years. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 18th of July, 2022, by Mandy Shaw Roberts. Scientists have unveiled the ancient sound of an Ice Age conch shell, believed to be the oldest known wind instrument of its kind. The 18,000-year-old shell lay forgotten in a French museum for 80 years. Found in the French Pyrenees in 1931, during the excavation of an archaeological site, it was thought to be a ceremonial drinking cup. 80 years on, researchers studying the archaeological inventory of the Natural History Museum of Toulouse became intrigued by the object. They took a fresh look and concluded that it had been modified thousands of years ago into a wind instrument, carved out to produce specific notes. Curious to hear how it would sound today, they asked a French horn player to play it, and in 2021 they released a recording of what it would have sounded like. Hearing it for the first time, for me, it was a big emotion and a big stress, said archaeologist Carol Fritz, the study's co-author who leads prehistoric art research at the French National Center for Scientific Research. She was worried that because it was an original shell and we didn't know how the shell would react, playing it might cause irreversible damage to the ancient conch. Fortunately, the shell coped well, producing close to the notes we would recognize today as C, C-sharp, and D. And the sound was truly amazing, Fritz says. While many older musical instruments have been discovered, including this 50,000-year-old Neanderthal flute, Fritz says that the 18,000-year-old conch would be the oldest of its kind known today. The instrument was left behind by the Pyrenean Magdalenians, who lived in the Marsulas cave about 18,000 years ago. Philippe Walter, director of the Laboratory of Molecular and Structural Archaeology at Sorbonne University and co-author of the research, said on scanning the conch, he found that the ancient musicians deliberately sliced off the tip of the shell and made holes through the shell's coils, through which they likely inserted a small mouthpiece. This technique likely made it easier to blow air into the shell and could have helped control the amount of air blown in. Nile Hunter's Lover's Swim introduces our music research and technology news. It's an article titled, Sona Labs Drops Debut Album Scientifically Designed to Help You Relax. Music as Medicine is the first official record from the company aiming to release music with shown therapeutic benefits. This is published in Rolling Stone by John Blistein, July 28, 2022. Neil Sarin was working as a music executive in the mid-2010s when he became intrigued by the possibility that music could bring about the same mental health benefits he'd gotten from his years of meditation. Over the next several years, he worked with everyone from scientists to yogis to fine-tune his vision, ultimately launching Sona Labs in 2019, an enterprise that aims to share music with therapeutic benefits. Today, July 29th, Sona is releasing its first proper album, Music as Medicine. The project comprises 10 tracks, including one, Orchids, by Sarin, and serves as a bit of a sampler of the music available on the Sona app. The tracks were created by producers in 6 different countries, mixed and mastered by Grammy winners Warren Riker and Rick St. Hilaire, and crafted under the guidance of neuroscientists at the University of California, Berkeley. We chose songs from the catalog and selected composers who we believe represents the global and sonically diverse talent we've collaborated with over the years, Sarin tells Rolling Stone in an email. It's been really fun. As for the science, Sarin credits UC Berkeley neuroscience professor Dr. Robert Knight, who's still a research advisor for Sona, with introducing the idea of music as a prescription-based treatment to him. Running with that, Sarin says the music Sona releases is designed to increase alpha brainwave activity and helps listeners efficiently achieve a relaxed state. He cites one EEG study done with Nielsen Neuroscience that showed participants who listened to Sona's music saw an increase in alpha brainwaves most associated with relaxed, idle states. Meanwhile, the control group listening to relaxing pop music saw an increase in beta brainwave activity, which occurs in regular waking states. Sarin also cites another study with UC Berkeley that showed our music's ability to significantly reduce corticosterone levels in mice in comparison to white noise in reggae. Sona is still awaiting official FDA approval, but Sarin says the company's experience with the agency has so far been very good. An exact timeline for approval isn't available yet, but he adds, the research we've conducted and Sona's efficacy serve as the foundation for the progress we've made. I can say we're fortunate to have seasoned mentors in the science community who have helped us. Barry Gibb's Lonely Days introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Andy Gibb, A Blazing Talent, A Tragic End. At 19, he was pop music gold. By 30, he was gone. A new book details the heartbreaking rise and fall of the Bee Gees' little brother. This is written by Liz McNeil, published in People magazine, July 11th, 2022. In the mid-1980s, when he was performing sold-out shows to standing ovations in Las Vegas, Andy Gibb would often return to his dressing room feeling he had failed. He had everything going for him, recalls his agent Jeff Witjes, but I always felt that when he looked in the mirror, he saw nothing. 34 years after Gibb's death by myocarditis, an inflammation of the heart's muscle that can be exacerbated by drug abuse at age 30, a new biography, Arrow Through the Heart, sheds light on the singer's extraordinary rise to superstardom at 19, as well as on his persistent insecurities, struggles with fame, and descent into cocaine addiction. No matter how many number one singles he had, including I Just Want to Be Your Everything and Shadow Dancing, or how often older brother Barry told him he had a better voice than any of them, says Arrow author Matthew Hild, the youngest Gibb always felt lesser than the Bee Gees' brother he grew up idolizing. In an exclusive excerpt, Hild, who interviewed close friends and musicians who knew Andy from the time he set out on a solo career playing bars in Australia, looks back on the star's complicated life. By June 1976, Barry and Bee Gees manager Robert Stigwood had decided Andy was ready to launch his career in the U.S., and Barry was ready to help him have some hits of his own. They went into a room alone with their guitars to collaborate. Andy could only watch in astonishment as Barry wrote, "I Just Want to Be Your Everything," in about 20 minutes. Before Andy even started recording the song, Barry had produced the backing tracks. That song spent 4 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 that summer and 16 weeks in the top 10. As Andy's fame grew, his personal life was imploding. And as his success continued, his second album, Shadow Dancing, sold more than a million copies, his cocaine use was growing out of control. After covering Andy's failed love affairs, marriage, performances, rehabs, self-confidence, and escalating drug use, the article ends with this. In a way, Andy's posthumously achieved his wish to become the fourth Bee Gees. On November 14, 1997, at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, the Bee Gees gave a concert, one night only, and performed Our Love, Don't Throw It All Away, while footage of Andy was shown on the big screen behind them. At one point, the three brothers stopped singing, except for backing vocals, while Andy's lead vocal from his recording of the song played.
Do nothing till you hear. Pay no attention to what's said. What people tell us seem of anyone's dream is over my head.
Phil Collins singing Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me introduces our jazz, symphonic pop, and local music news. It's the 2022-2023 pop season. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for details and tickets. Tickets are now on sale for the upcoming Pops Music 22-23 season. It's
What does that mean that I've been untrue? When we're apart, the words in my heart, they reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory.
It begins at my Mandy Concert Hall, Raleigh, on Friday, Saturday, October 7 and 8, at 8 p.m. Cirque dances with Troupe Vertigo. Stunning aerial acts, astonishing acrobatic feats, and mind-boggling contortions, all perfectly choreographed to beloved music. Then it's on to the annual Holiday Pops Concert on Friday, December 9 at 8 p.m. and Saturday, December 10th at 3 and 8 p.m. Holiday favorites and traditional carols you know and love. Next up is Aretha, a tribute, on Friday, January 20th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, January 21 at 3 and 8 p.m. Broadway star Kapethia Jenkins performs Aretha's hits, including Chain of Fools, Amazing Grace, and Respect. On Friday, February 10th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, February 11th at 3 and 8 p.m., it's Revolution, the music of the Beatles. Guest vocalists and the symphony perform restored orchestrations from the original sessions at Abbey Road, accompanied by rare and unseen photos of the band projected on the big screen. In the air tonight, the music of Phil Collins and Genesis follows on Friday, March 17th at 8 and Saturday, March 18th at 3 and 8 p.m. Guest vocalist and the symphony pay tribute to mega band Genesis and Phil Collins, who opened this article. And last but not least, on Friday, May 5th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, May 6th at 3 and 8 p.m. is Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, in concert. The North Carolina Symphony performs John Williams' legendary score live. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, how many feature films was Elvis Presley in? Is it A, fewer than 5, B, between 5 and 15, C, between 15 and 25, or D, more than 30? Correct answer? Answer D. Elvis was in more than 30 feature films. As noted by Joe Layden in a June 24, 2022 Variety.com article titled Elvis Presley's 10 Best Films, Elvis Presley racked up more than 30 movie credits during the 13 years he was in the narrative acting game. But not all of them are as well remembered as hits like Viva Las Vegas and Jailhouse Rock. In response to the biopic Elvis opening in theaters recently, Layden ranks the top 10 movies starring the king. Coming in at number 1? In answering that question, Layden asks, what did Elvis Presley have in common with Humphrey Bogart, Errol Flynn, and James Cagney? All of these legends made career highlight movies directed by the prolific and prodigious Michael Curtiz. In Elvis's case, 1958's King Creole was a first-rate, hard-boiled, borderline noir musical drama based on the Harold Robbins novel, A Stone for Danny Fisher, about a sullen New Orleans youth, the king, of course, whose overnight success as a singer in a Bourbon Street nightclub attracts the unwanted interest of vicious gangster and part-time talent manager Maxie Fields, played by Walter Matthau. King Creole was filmed largely on location, and it captures the unique flavor of the Crescent City to a degree rarely matched by other films made there before or since. Elvis's first song actually is an ode to crawfish. The superior supporting cast includes Dean Jagger, Vic Morrow, and Carolyn Jones in one of her all-time best performances. Elvis was never better as an actor than he was in King Creole, and he never made a better movie. The other 9 films Layden ranks as Elvis's top 10 include The Trouble with Girls, 1969, Elvis on Tour, 1972, Kid Galahad, 1962, Love Me Tender, 1956, Wild in the Country, 1961, Flaming Star, 1960, Blue Hawaii, 1961, Jailhouse Rock, 1957, and Viva Las Vegas, 1964. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1973 in New North Carolina that singer Stevie Wonder lost his sense of smell and taste. Is that true or false? Correct answer, true. Indeed, it was on this day back in 1973 that Stevie Wonder not only temporarily lost his sense of smell and taste, he almost lost his life. He was on his way to a radio station in Durham, North Carolina, for an interview to promote his latest album when he was in a serious automobile accident. He almost died and was in a coma for several days. As noted in an August 6, 2013 Wall Street Journal article by Jim Fusilli, unlike that of some of his 70s peers, Wonder's story has a happier ending. Though a scheduled Spring 74 tour was postponed, in March of that year, Wonder performed at Madison Square Garden. In addition, his 17th studio album, Fulfilling This First Finale, was released just 4 months later, and his career was back on track. So let's close today's program with a tribute to Stevie Wonder's life, Joy Inside My Tears.
I've always come to the conclusion that blood is the way of asking for permission to lay something heavy on one's head. So I've tried to not be the one who fall into that line, but what I feel inside, I think you should know.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.